Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, it's no secret that British royal family is exceptionally, exceptionally wealthy. But did you know King Charles built his own financial empire over the decades? His estate is one of the most lucrative moneymakers in the royal family. With us now to talk more about this, from the UK, Laura Clancy. She's author of the book Running the Family Firm, How the Monarchy Manages Its Image and Our Money. Laura, thank you for joining us today. How did Charles build such a large financial empire?
So the Duchy of Cornwall, which is owned by all heirs to the throne, so that's since the 1400s, it's been passed down. To the next in line to the throne. So, of course, Prince Charles inherited that in the 50s. And then he's really kind of made that into more of a commercial business. So hiring business managers, for instance, PR people, CEOs, in order to make it competitive as kind of a property empire, essentially.
And what is in there? Is it like it's farmland and it's vacation rentals and it's office space and it's manufacturing? There's a whole bunch of stuff like in this thing that now what Prince William is going to get.
Yeah, it's huge property, like you said, bits, large parts of cities that will be obviously very expensive rents, and also huge areas of countryside as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that he's king, how much larger could or does his financial situation become now that he's the monarch?
Well, of course, he loses the Duchy of Cornwall. That goes to William. But what he gains is ownership of what's owned by the crown. So the stuff that's owned by the crown and his institution, and then there's the stuff that's owned by the monarch as an individual person. So, for example, Queen Elizabeth's jewellery, for example, and clothes, that's slightly different in terms of inheritance. But as the monarch, you get funded by the sovereign grant, which is money that is essentially paid through the crown estate, which is another portfolio of land and property that gets paid into the government, and then that gets paid back out, and that's what funds the official activities of the monarch.
Do we know how many billions, if we take the family and you start adding all this up, where do they come in at?
Well, it's actually really difficult to say that. I mean, there's estimates, but they range from in the hundreds of millions to in the hundreds of billions, just because so much is secret. So, for example, royal wills are secret, so we don't actually know what they personally own and what they pass on. So that makes it really difficult, actually, to estimate. But we know, obviously, it's a lot.
How many years has it been now that the royal family has had to start paying taxes?
So that was started in 1992. They started paying voluntary income tax as it's billed. So that was too, there's quite a lot of criticism that public money was being used to fix up a palace after a fire. So they kind of volunteered to pay this income tax, almost as a way of mitigating public opinion, I suppose, and making people feel like they were giving something back.
Yeah, because there is a disconnect. I mean, he gets up there on a golden throne and in all the regalia and gives the speech that, you know, the government is going to give to him each year. And it's going to say something about, let's help struggling families. And you're inevitably, every year, you have people look at that and go, this person, I mean, that family is very out of touch, is what is said.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, particularly in recent years, there's been so many government cuts in the UK. The NHS has been decimated, for example. So they've been reading that out. The monarchs have been reading that out and obviously sat there on their gold throne with their crown on.
How do people feel, I mean, ordinary people on the streets, about the enormous, enormous wealth of the royal family?
Well, I think one thing to bear in mind is that this isn't widely talked about. So this isn't something we all talk about every day. I think a lot of people don't really realise how it's funded or what wealth it has. Obviously, people know they're wealthy, but perhaps that doesn't enter into popular conversation. And with the Queen, you had this image of almost like an elderly grandmother. There was a lot of affection for her. So I think that cancelled out a lot of those more critical conversations.
So you're saying it doesn't come into conversation? There aren't people who just, you know, sitting down, family dinner, maybe over a few beers and say, you know, that's one very rich family. They just tend to ignore it?
Well, I'm sure it does in some families and in some groups, but the Republican movement here is not large. I think largely people are quite blasé about it. So they kind of think, well, it exists. It's not doing any harm. Why do we need to change it? But again, a lot of that was to do with the Queen, kind of saying, well, why would we want to lose the Queen? So I wonder what will happen now when obviously the Queen is gone.
Well, I'm sure
Charles is in.
I'm sure you've seen in recent days, too, it's not just the wealth right now that we're talking about, but the rest of it, history. I mean, colonialism,
yes.
and there's a lot of conversation out there, especially on social media, is, you know, how much do we mourn her if she, you know, has all these palaces that was built on a lot of hardship for a lot of people? I mean, it's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, very. And there's lots of different aspects to take in. And I think, I mean, I've seen more of it over the last few days, but I also wonder if that's partly outside of the UK again. So the people I've been speaking to this week have mostly been outside of the UK, actually. And the coverage in the UK has been largely just effusive, particularly on like the BBC, for example. You've had no negative coverage of any of this at all.
From the UK, Dr. Laura Clancy, author of the book Running the Family Firm, How the Monarchy Manages Its Image and Our Money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.